You know, I listened to Kenneth Hagin, and he validated something that I had done before, which I'm sure we learned from people like him anyway. Are you getting my point? Yes. And then he also corrected me further and helped me consolidate some things I'm supposed to do. Now, I told you sometime, or was it last week I said it, that two of our books, How to Work for God and Should I Say Yes, that in a short while you will get it free by email. Can you remember? That is, you can download the full book, nothing removed. Now, I'm going somewhere. Now, I was not listening to Kenneth Hagin just about 2 days ago. And he said something, that he did not write a book for 9 years simply because at the beginning somebody said you should write a book, you'll make a lot of money. I don't know what I said. Somebody said to him, you should write a book, you'll make a lot of money. He said, once he heard, you'll make a lot of money, he refused to write. Every time he wants to write, he'll remember that he'll make a lot of money, he'll stop. He said he fought that thing until he was so sure that he's not writing so as to make a lot of money. That was when he finally wrote the book. And after that, he ensured that all the royalties, everything, is plowed into the ministry and all of that. That's the way he handled it, all right? I'm not saying everybody should follow his own. But being a preacher, being a minister of the gospel, he decided that it is not right for him to write a teaching of the word of God so as to make money. Now, please, I'm not giving laws about this. I'm not being dogmatic that you must... There are those who have, you know, made a lot of money. Rick Warren wrote a book, Purpose-Driven Life. He made, I've forgotten how many, he sold, I think, 15 million copies. And he got a lot of money. And what did he do with the money? When he made a lot of money, he said, first thing, he ensured that he did not buy anything. No major purchases. You know, buy big thing, buy a Cadillac, private jet. And he said he didn't buy anything. He made sure his life did not change. That was number one. Then he had pastored for like 24 years in that church. He calculated all the money they had paid him. It was less than the money he made, so he paid the church back. Then he took the rest of the money, most of it, he set up a foundation to help people, young ministries and stuff. And then that was the end of it. So that's how the money. So before he made a lot of money, and after he made a lot of money, it was the same requirement that you always knew. He went to the same places, ate the same food, drove the same kind of cars, lived the same kind of house. But this time around, he had a lot of money. But you wouldn't see any difference in him. Is he successful? I'm not judging Rick Warren. I don't know him in details. But he was not more successful after he made a lot of money than a month before he made a lot of money. That's what you need to understand. Because a lot of money does not judge whether you are successful or not. A man's life, and when the Bible says man, don't say me, at least I'm a woman, thank God. It doesn't apply to me. That is the way God, the Bible talks about mankind. If any man is in Christ, he's a woman too. Are you getting my point? So that man is for you, both male and female, all right? Male and female created he them and called their name Adam. That's the Bible, all right? Okay? So everybody is man in that category. So he says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses, which means you cannot judge how successful you are or you are not by what you have or you don't have. You can't. Don't even try. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. And very importantly, don't even judge somebody else by it. Don't. And that's how you know you are not really, that is, don't judge somebody else by it. That young woman that I was talking about to earlier, she's still around. I don't know who you are, just joking, all right? So, assuming there were two brothers who want to marry you. One, you check outwardly. He has every material thing. The other one does not have. I'm not telling you to be spiritual now. Say, no, me, this is don't matter to me. That's not what I'm talking about. Let it matter to you for a moment, all right? Just wait. But no matter how much it matters to you, it has no meaning. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I'm not saying close your eyes. I'm telling you, You cannot decide who will be a better husband. I want to say better husband in every ramification. Who will make you happier, be a better father for your children, and take you to those places all over the world you always wanted to go to. You cannot judge at that moment. Let it matter to you. I'm not saying, let's say, okay, you know me. So that's not what I'm talking about, whether I just don't like those things. No. The issue is that as a matter of fact, you see, it's like saying, man, this guy has a lot of cotton wool. When he was coming to my house, he carried 2 bales of cotton wool. That's the amount of value the money has. It's vanity. So he had a truckload of ice block following him inside the sun. It will melt. That's what it means, vanity. Especially for us believers. So when you're assessing your life, let's get back to you now, your own personal life, don't even, that's Christianity I'm talking about, judge whether you are successful or not by the amount of material things you possess. You know why this is crucial? You know why it's crucial? You know why it's crucial we understand it? Because when we understand it, it allows us to work according to purpose. It's not the material things I'm even concerned about now. It's how you are what? Walking. Which direction are you going? If you fully, you know what? I said, I explained something. He said, therefore, do not fear them. I said, fear is the reason why people don't do the will of God. So when we fully understand, that people say that, can you imagine a man, you did not own a house, and you were on this earth, so what? It's not a big deal. Oh God, in all honesty, it's not a big deal. It is not a big deal. And I can prove it to you. You don't know whether Paul had a house or he did not. Okay, but we don't know whether somebody dashed him one. It's possible. Somebody could have dashed him one when he used to come to Macedonia. Say, Pastor, let's assume it's today's day. Pastor Paul, anytime you come to town, this will be your house. And Pastor Paul, Apostle Paul, I assume it's today. If it's today, we'll be calling him Pastor. He will collect the house, hold the keys. Anytime he's going, say, okay, Timothy, send men ahead to clean the house. We are coming. It's possible. We don't know. But that is irrelevant in the history of Paul today. For a Christian, this is how we handle life. Everything is a matter of what? Purpose. It's a matter of use. Everything is a tool. We don't acquire things, we use them. Let me say it again. We don't acquire things. What do? We use them. That is why as a Christian, I've seen Christian books say it is the right thing to do. Christians don't save for the rainy day. No. As a believer, you can't. You shouldn't. You don't save for the rainy day. The commandment for believers is sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Is it that? Does it mean, therefore, anytime you get money, you blow it? No, I didn't say that. If you gave me 100 million naira today, it will probably still be remaining next year. Why? I'm not spendthrift. I don't waste money. And listen, when it comes to giving as an example, explain it properly also, you also don't give recklessly, just like you don't spend recklessly. When you spend money on yourself, you are supposed to be calculated and purposeful. Understand what you are doing. When you are giving also, it's like that. I like Warren Buffett in that regard. Warren Buffett said he discovered that giving out money is just as difficult as making money. He wasn't talking about just handing it out. To be purposeful, to understand where it is going, how it's going to help somebody. He said it takes a lot of energy. So that was why when he found that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they had started to do it. He said, good. This is one thing I don't know how to do, but they know how to do it. So he gave them 85% of all the money he had. And he was the richest man in the world. Or at least second or third richest at that particular point in time. Because he said, giving out money is as difficult as making money. I have the skill for making money, but I do not have the skill for giving it out. So let me give out to the person who has the skill. So you see, he had the heart to give it out. It's how to, he did not know. He said, okay, let me give it to the person who knows how to. So I'm bringing an issue here. So I'm not saying be spendthrift. You also have to be purposeful. So if you give me 100 million naira today or 500 million, I'm not going to blow it entirely because it is going to be, that would be prodigal. You know, there are people who do prodigal giving. There's prodigal spending and there's prodigal giving. One of my friends, he said that he knew somebody, a close relative, that the guy was always broke and in debt. And he used to wonder, how did the guy used to get that broke? I asked him, I said, is the guy on drugs? He said, no, you know now, I'm a doctor. If he's on drugs, I'll know. I said, so how is this your guy always get? He said, hey, this is what he does. Maybe he goes to go and drink. Guys and the beer parlor, they are drinking. Somebody will come to him and say, so you ask somebody, say, let's use a hypothetical name. Like, give me a name. Fred, all right? So Fredo. So how you doing with your business? Yeah, I'm trying to open a shop. I don't know. I'm just trying to. I say, okay, how much do you need to pay the rent? I said, 200,000. I said, okay, see me on Monday. I'll give it to you. Everybody will hail him. Hey, boy. You know that kind of thing. Oh, no, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. What is he doing? He doesn't know what Fredo does, what he wants to sell. He just has to make a statement to everybody around Fredo that he's the Don. Are you getting my point? Yeah, the Don said, see me on Monday. So on Monday, Fredo will come and he will hand Fredo that 250,000 naira, which he doesn't have, which he borrowed, but he has to make a statement. That's what I call prodigal giving. What did I call it? Prodigal. So I'm not telling Christians to be prodigal in their giving. Not at all. I am just saying that we understand that everything we have as believers, all right, was given for a purpose. So we don't acquire things, we use them. We use them. We use them. Very important. And what do we use them to do? To live life, a life that is being lived in the service of the will of God. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That the way Christians live the way we live our lives, we don't have the same standards as the world. You hear me say this a lot of times. People say, people buy private jets. Why are they using private jets? You know, there are things, may God deliver you from poverty permanently. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. In fact, okay, no, that's not a good prayer. You have been delivered permanently from poverty.
Amen.
So you will not do poverty talking.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
Poverty talk is, say, what are they doing with private jets? There are two ways to ask that question. If you are being critical in that question, it's poverty talking. If you are curious, say, good morning, sir. Please, I want to know, what do you do with private jet? That's a good question. You know, Mary said, how shall this thing be? And she survived. One man said, hey, how shall this thing, can this thing be? He died. You get my point? The two questions were similar, but they had a different heart. Are you getting my point? So, if you're asking that kind of question, wanting to know, that's good. Because those who are going to private places, and they have private resources, they should fly private jets. If they need a private time to do private things. And like I always say, your car is somebody's private jet. Yeah. Okay, you take 5 million naira, you buy a car, to you is nothing. But that's somebody's private jet. So let those who want to use it, let them use it. But the point I'm making is, for us believers, it is never a statement, guys, have you seen my private jet? Let's go and see it. For you, it is a means of transportation in being more efficient in fulfilling the will of God for your life. Now, I'm sure we already understand it, but let me just emphasize it. I told you, we drove in, I got down from the car now, 2 minutes to five. I was supposed to start preaching here, 5 o'clock dot. For those of you who were behind me on the staircase, that's why I was walking slowly. I was deliberately, I know some people is like, Pastor, run now, we're almost late. But I was walking slowly, so I won't be panting when I get off here, before I start preaching. So I took my time to walk up slowly. Now, imagine, if I had to wait for Peace Mass Transit. I was coming from Newe. That's why I just finished preaching. And when I say finished preaching, I just left as I dropped the mic. I walked straight out to the car. Handed some things to the young men in the car. And then we started coming. What if I had to wait for Peace Mass Transit? You know, I won't be here today. By now, I see the train driver. Hurry now. I'm supposed to preach somewhere now. Now, from Newe to this place with the car, it looks okay, not problem, just a car now. Some people also have to fly like that. And if they have to fly commercial, they will miss all the next meetings that they have been booked for. So if the meetings are important and the resources are available, it is just common sense for them to have their private jet. For the believer, it's simply what? A tool, and we use it. And that is why, if today we don't need it anymore, we gladly drop the keys for whoever needs it, we walk away from it and go back to where, go to the place of a new assignment that does not require it. This is how Christians handle life. A Christian can never stand and be counting. I have a private jet. I have a villa in, what's the name of that place? In Dubai. I have one here. I have one here. See, you must be careful in life as a Christian. Anything you have to tell people about so that you know you have it, just know you don't need it. Go and sell it. I don't know whether I get my point. When it becomes bragging rights. Yeah, you don't need it. Christians should do, you see, those of you who know me enough, you should know the kind of person. I think I'm relatively a free person. I don't have a lot of hassles in there. Why should a Christian? Why should a Christian do Jerry calls? It's because you don't like straight hair. Do Jerry calls. What's my problem? No, it really doesn't concern me. No. You come for Bible study, your hair is Jerry called. Well, I just wonder, are you okay? You say yes. Okay, sorry. honestly, it doesn't worry me. I just confirm that you're okay. Once you're okay, it doesn't bother me. No. But you see, having said that, sometimes as a believer, you have to be careful when you're acquiring material things. I cannot judge each individual. I can only teach the principles of God. I think a lot of material acquisitions that unbelievers do and the church gets involved in is ungodliness. Yeah. I think that's about all I can say about that. You have to be careful. If you're not using a car, what are you doing with it? What should I do with it? Keep it until you find somebody who needs it. That's my principle. I will not buy a house that, one, I don't need, and I can't explain how owning it is helping me or anybody more than the fact that I will give it to my children. That's nonsense. I will not build a house now hoping to give to my children. The day I build it, I hand you the keys. That is, you are big enough to own it. If you are not, I will give those. You know, don't forget, you are not the only one of God's children that I know. You are just the one specifically sent into my house for training. Remember, I started by saying the fact that you are all children of God. I will give it to somebody else. And this, you must understand, I'm serving a living God. That's not a joke. I am serving a living God who gave me the capacity to build a house today. Therefore, since it's not going to get tired, I can build another one tomorrow when you become of age to collect your own. So if I build a house to give someone, say, this one is for my children. I have more children than the one that my wife personally delivered. That is a matter of fact. I'm explaining a principle that Christians, when we're talking about counting your possessions, it's very important. People often count their possessions the way the world does, and it is wrong. Let me say something to you. This life is temporal. Everything you see here, the chair you are sitting on, the clothes you are wearing, the car you drove down here, all right? The stuff, the bank, the money you have in your bank, the land you bought. You know, I even like that land, don't you? You know why I like it? You can buy it today, tomorrow. One governor will just sign something. Signature. You don't own the land again. They didn't do that to collect it. They just signed something. Overriding public interest. You don't have land anymore. And the one I like most is El-Rufaizo. El-Rufai is a messenger of God. I think Christians should realize that this is just brick and mortar. It's iron rod. It's not the house of God. So God sent El-Rufai to demolish it. I say, how can you demolish the house of God? It's not the house of God. It's an assembly hall. It's brick and mortar. It's not more anointed than the mango tree in front of it. So when the man pulled it down, I said, It was a good lesson for my brethren that use all kinds of money, all kinds of methods to raise money to build Grass. All houses are what? Grass. Cash, material cash, that is physical cash, you know, cash. That one is another useless one. If you keep it at home, it loses value on a daily basis. If it's in your house, by tomorrow it's less valuable than it was today. If you keep it in the bank, you wake up more money. Really, these are the decrees of the Almighty. You put your money in the bank, it can disappear. One man will just steal the money, and there's nothing you are going to do. And the only one that is insured is 50,000 naira. So if your money was 2 million, they give you 50,000 back. The rest, you may get it back if they are able to do some arrangements after 10 years. By which time, if really you were a blessed person, you should have made it back. And if you were so unblessed, you should have committed suicide. That is, all flesh is what? Grass. Some people say that, buy gold, that's the one that makes me laugh. Buy the gold, keep it somewhere. Where is it that thieves cannot break in and steal? Listen, children of God, please stop counting your possessions in material things. They are not worth anything. Everything is to be what? Used. See everything as a way of doing something. I remember when we taught spiritual economics. People say, save up for your future. You can put money inside a bank. Stock market. I said, I don't believe in this. Put money inside stock market for the future. Then one day we did spiritual economics. And the Bible says, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. It says, restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert. And God answered and said, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. And what was God saying? In that economy, sow in it. And at that time, Charles Soludo said every bank should consolidate by being capitalized to the tune of 25 billion naira of that time. And I preached from here, I said, because it's our economy, I want our banks to be strong. It is our duty as Nigerians to give them the money to make it up to 25 billion. That was the first time in my life I bought shares in anything. First time. And the share price will go up and come down. And go up, and go up, and go up, and go up, and nose dive, and nose dive. Someone said, let's do business. I said, listen, I forgot. Now, you must understand that in my mind, it's write off money. I don't know whether I get my point. No, I'm very good with writing money off. Hey, I'm very good with it. Oh, Father, thank you for that grace. No, it's a grace that God has given me. May you have it also. Amen. And when you lose money, just shake your head like this. It's not money. I know one thing about those things. They are spiritual. Yeah. The real substance that brings that money, you can't steal it from me. So if you take the outward manifestation, it will grow back. The root is there. You just chopped a branch. And sometimes I actually do this once in a while. I prophesy the thing to grow back. Yes, I'm not joking. So this, which kind of loss is this one? This money be refunded. It will come back in different ways. Listen, for us Christians, that's what I'm talking about. Material things is not how we judge whether we are successful or we have failed. I need to finish my message today, and my time has really gone far. How do we judge whether we have succeeded? How do we judge whether we have failed? How do we count our possessions? In my life, what have I achieved? I'll tell you the truth, personally. In fact, you know, in life, you know they call Pareto principle. 20%? Is it 80%? How does it come again? Anyway, let me put it like this. You know the things that are giving you fruit in life. Don't spend your energy on the one that's not producing. There are many things I do, many of you know. But personally, all right, what's most important is the ministry of the word, teaching. So that's always primary. It's always the first and every other thing follows behind. And I've discovered that it is wise for me to spend more energy on it. Do you know why? Every day, almost, I go to places. You have been a tremendous blessing. I listened to this message. Oh, it changed my life. My phone rang the other day. There was a couple I met when I went to preach in Asaba. And the wife called, the phone rang, she was, I picked the call. And she was shouting, yay, this book, this, you know, she downloaded the book and was reading it. And was screaming. Since I read the book, I've not been at ease. Oh, I've been praying since that time. Oh, Pastor, God will bless you. God will increase you. God will bring people to support you. And she was blessed. I said, amen, amen. Oh, this is so good. And book. We ended the call. And I lifted my hands and worshiped the Lord. I travel. I come down. Oh, Pastor Banky, so happy to meet you. There was something you said. Since that time, my life has not been the same again. I said, I told my wife, we are walking. I don't know whether you get the point. Listen, you know the interesting part? Nobody has ever checked, sir, did you track down or which kind of car you're using? I don't know whether you got that. Nobody has asked, what is your correct title? You know, I like that name, Pastor Banky. I like it. It's a nice name. It even rhymes. Very funky. But why do I like it? Because it emphasizes the most important thing that I do in my life. That's why I like it, actually. That's what I'm talking about. All right, because I understand the scriptures. The word pastor is not for the church administrator. We use these days to just identify anybody who's in ministry. But it's actually meant for somebody who teaches the word of God, who instructs people in the way of God. So I will give you pastors after my own heart. And what will they feed you with is knowledge and understanding. All right? So that's why I like the title. So personally, that's what I count. I personally, in fact, if a whole year passes and I don't meet people who have been transformed by the word I preach, I'll go and pray. Even now that I'm meeting them all the time, I still pray some more. And listen, for that reason, it is more important to me that I spend energy to achieve more and more of that, because I have come to understand that that is my purpose. The other things that God will do with my life, which I have not yet stepped into, and I don't know them yet, is stage by stage. In the stage where we are in right now, that is what's most important. And that's why when they told Ken Hagin, write a book, you will make money. And he refused to write, not because the writing is bad, but because he said the motivation is wrong. And for me, therefore, people say that, I've heard people say, how do you market your materials and all of that? I said, no, it's easier for me to put it on the website and you download it directly. Do you know why? How do I count whether I'm successful or I'm not? It is the number of people that download, listen to, and are transformed by it. Therefore, I will not put any obstruction between them and their ability to contact the materials. If money will be the obstruction, I will remove it. The major reason, there are two reasons, all right? Why we don't just hand out our materials free is simply because I want people to place value on it. One of the reasons why I demand you come and, you know, buy the book is because you decide whether you want it or you don't want it. And I say, but on the internet, it's free. Internet, to reach the internet is not free for you. I hope you know that. It's an effort. You have to go in there, log in, and a lot of us have to pay for that connection, and you download the materials. All right? It's costing you money. For me, you have placed enough value on it. That's the major reason. The second reason is that, well, maybe that's not a very good reason, but let me just explain it. It's because it's going to be a lot of cost on us personally to be doing that. So bear some of the cost if it's valuable to you. Just bear some of the cost. And that is why we gladly package 10, 15 messages on one CD and say buy it for 150 naira. For Americans, that's $1. And you get 15 messages for $1. That means we are not trying to make money from the material. Nothing wrong with making money for it if you like to make money from your own. But for me, because I am counting how effective my life is, and the money that's coming in, and you know God is good. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I prayed long ago that Kingdom World Ministries will not lack money, and I will not have to be paying Kingdom World Ministries expenses from my pocket. It's a prayer I prayed very long ago. And God answered it long ago too. If I answered it immediately. And the manifestation has been with us for many years. So it will be crazy on my part. And listen to me. If I want a house in Dubai, you know what I'm going to do? I will go and ask the Lord for it. He knows I won't ask because I don't go to Dubai. Then I say, so if you sell your books, you'll be able to buy a house in Dubai. No. If I want a house in Dubai, and it's very serious to me, and I think it's crucial for my ability to rest, you know, say, go outside and rest for a while. And I say, God, this is where I want to be resting for a while. No, Dubai is not a good example. Because it's not a place I want to go and rest, you know. It's a personal thing, all right? Okay, let's say United States. One of my friends, I told him once, I don't know what I told him. Yes, I told my wife. He's a very good friend, very good friend. I said, one day, whatever he's staying in the U.S., I'll probably buy a house close to his own so that my wife, my children can be going all the time. I said, even if I don't buy it, then, anytime I want to come, we'll tell him to look for a house nearby so we'll rent it for a 1 month period so that we can relax and play with him. I'm glad to be our spot for traveling all over the United States if we have to do that. And where will you get the money from this thing when the time comes? Let me tell you how I do such things. I just start meditating about it. Say, Lord, this thing go good, though. Once I say go good, and I'm convinced, normally I don't even know what happens. When it has finished happening, I now remember, oh, yeah, we said we'll do this thing years ago. It has nothing to do whether I sell books or I don't sell books. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, I'm trying to emphasize something. As a Christian, we don't count our possessions by material things. There's something I wanted to talk about, but my time is up, so I'll probably pick it up from there because I feel like describing it again. In the life of Christians, a time is going to come. Now, a lot of believers are going to have much more money than they need. Yes. That is, if you wanted to drive a Lamborghini, you have money for four. If you say you wanted to build a duplex in Independence Layout, you have money to build 10 of it. That's really where the temptations come from in life. That's when you now start asking yourself, what am I really living for? And let me tell you, the only reason why God does that is because somewhere around, there will be somebody or a cause, do you understand, that needs money. And let me tell you ahead of time, it's your duty to be diligent in ensuring that that extra money, you're not now laying it up for yourself when my children grow up, you know. You can't use the money that God gave you to do something else to cause problems for your children. Because it's a problem. You lay it up for them, it's a problem. Listen, if you are good with talking and teaching, it is because God wants you to talk and teach. And your life as a believer, you must do it. If you are good with counseling people, please, you have to use that gift because you are not living for yourself. You know, I'm saying many things. My wife and I talked this morning. I want to talk about waiting on your gift, being very careful. We'll go on into that maybe next time. This issue, waiting on your gift, being very careful to ensure you do what God wants to do. My wife and I discussed something this morning. I was just telling her a story of one man who they say he's a pastor today. And one of our friends said that the man confessed that the reason why he decided to become a pastor is because he used to be a music minister. I think he still is, all right? I don't know much about him. But I said he would go for meetings those days. And then they sang one of his songs for me. And I realized that as a student, I remember 1989, all right? It's one of the music we're jamming in school. You know it by jamming. That's, you know, as young boys now, we'll go to fellowship. We really liked it. I said, he was the one that sang that song. They said, yes. I said, yeah. 89 till now. Imagine how long ago. Quite some time. That's 25 years, all right? They said, he's a pastor. How's the church? The church, they try. Are you getting my point? He said, why did he start a church? That's the gist. He said, it's because those days you go and minister. They treat the pastors with a lot of respect. Man of God, sit over here. Man of God. You know, somebody will carry your bag. They will man of God you. Treat you very well. But him, they didn't treat him with as much honor. After I said, look, me too, I'll be minister like these people now. He said, the problem is that I not get church, Abi. Now the man will start church. My wife said, it's funny. Because now, preachers are now complaining that the musicians are the ones that get treated extra. Yes. Let me not even go there. I know many of them. When you drop money, half a million before they talk to you. Meanwhile, if you like, preach 4-day seminar. All you men of God, do this work because you like it. If not money, they find, oh boy, go sell recharge card. You will sweat, you know, preach. Preach. One day, but there's one joke I like to crack once in a while. I went to preach somewhere. Five good sessions. Correct word. I didn't have record at that time. And those kinds of way you go preach, finish, put for MP3, share with guys. Solid word. Correct word. In fact, one of the days, I finished preaching. One man was so blessed. He came out. He saw the books, our books displayed outside. He said, how much is everything? They told him the money. He paid. Took one copy each of the materials. And said they should go and share everything else. That's how blessed it was. I finished preaching. Now, I don't preach for money. I thank God for it. I'm not bragging. Just a matter of fact. Okay? So the man went and they said, thank you very much. You are such a blessing for helping us. Now give me an envelope. So thank you for coming. You know, that kind of thing. So I opened the envelope. Now, it's not a big deal. I mean, listen, I went to preach somewhere one day. So, like, you know, it's not a big deal. One day, I went to preach somewhere. The guy had, at the time he finished there, when they finished, they gave me an envelope containing money. I took it with the right hand, passed it to the left hand, and gave it back to them. I didn't check what it was. I don't know. And they was like, no, sir, please. So I said, listen, what this guy is doing, I believe in it. Do you understand? I would have loved to contribute money, but I didn't contribute. Now that I have come to let my preaching be my contribution. It's not a big deal. We'll talk tomorrow. Now, this is I'm telling the story. As I was leaving, one young girl, not to say young lady, you think it's a lady, girl. She walked up to me, good afternoon, sir. That you've been an inspiration. That she wants to pray with her. I prayed with her. When I finished, she gave me a 100 naira offering. I collected it, put it in my pocket. 100 naira. The money that girl gave me was in an envelope, was in thousands. Was what? 100 naira. I chopped that one like Elijah. I don't know that you get my point. Yes, I collected it, pocketed it, was happy with it. It's the kind of money that I won't give anybody. That kind of money I will deliberately buy groundnut on the road so that I know that young lady, as I'm eating it, you are blessed in Jesus' name. So at the end of this, I opened the envelope, it was 5,000 naira. My wife said, hey, 1 naira, 1,000 per hour. That is the joke in it, because I preach five sessions, that is. On Sunday, I preach twice, you know. I preach on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yes, preach there, finish preaching there. No, I came here first, finished preaching. I finished on time and drove there because they said they will start a bit late. And preached, then Sunday morning, I was there. In the evening, they had a special program. I came. By the time, you know this kind of when you finish preaching there? Virtue, you know, virtue had left. My wife said, very good. 1,000 naira is there. Why I'm telling the story is that, listen, if it was a musician, that's what I'm telling the story. Number one, nobody's giving you five sessions, musician. You get your time. You show up for one session, drop the guy. If he's a nice guy, 200K. One day, my wife and I go, they do program. The MC saying in fee now 50K. I said, when I not call you in car? MC fee, 50 grand. Now, why am I telling the story, all right? The most valuable thing I'm telling you is that brother, you remember him, who decided to start pastoring because that time, that's the main gist, that time, those who were singing were not highly esteemed. So the man abandoned his ministry and began to preach. He is not known today as, in fact, I was surprised when he told me that that's the guy you used to listen to those days when you were in school. I said, are you serious? He said, that's him. Why? Because he left that area to go and earn respect. Please, you're a Christian. You belong to God, you don't belong to yourself. You cannot do anything, one, because of money, two, because of respect. You don't do it. Everything you do must be because of what? A calling. You feel this is what I'm gifted with, this is where God, this is how God wants to bless people in this generation through me. I focus on that, I do that. If it makes everybody happy, fine. If he makes them sad, fine. Your father thought you were going to tow his line and become a successful businessman like him. You tell you are going to be a pastor. Your father is not your father. God in heaven, that's what Jesus said, is your father. Are you getting my point? Your father is just a senior child of God sent to train a junior child of God. You owe your allegiance, first of all, to God in heaven. So if he thought he should be a successful businessman and politician like himself, but you have chosen to become a preacher you shall be. If you want to please, you know, people make a mistake, say, let me first go and make it in ministry first, in business first. I'll now return and do ministry. I have never seen one that succeeded doing that. If you did not know and you did the business first and you now return to ministry, it's okay. But if you knew, let me first go and set to make sure I have enough money. I have, multiple streams of income and passive income so I can now preach effectively. Don't worry. You are asking for trouble. I have never seen anybody it worked for. It doesn't work.